Welcome to a new Daily Digest from English Plus Podcast. I'm your host, Danny, and I'm thrilled to share with you the contents of today's episode. We're going to talk about a lot of things. We have a lot on our plate today, so get ready to dive in the exciting Daily Digest episode. But before we start, let me tell you what we're going to talk about today. We're going to start with our Words of Wisdom section. We're going to talk about a rolling stone gathers no moss proverb. We're going to talk about believe you can and you're halfway there quote. Then we're going to move on to our Word Power section, where we're going to talk about an expression, a very interesting expression, wild goose chase. And we're going to talk about the word of the day, natty. And then we're going to move on to our Did You Know section. We're going to ask a couple of questions in this section. One that has to do with archaeology. Did you know the ancient city of Troy was considered a myth until its discovery in the 19th century? We're going to answer this question. And then we'll move on to ask a question about ourselves in our Know Yourself segment. And the question is, did you know that meditation can physically change the structure of your brain? Exciting stuff, huh? But that's not everything. We still have the language journey, where we're going to talk about the difference between fictional and fictitious. And we're going to talk about some common mistakes that people make when using the word makeup. Then we'll move on to our literary echoes section. We're going to have the daily poetry section with I Belong by Phoenix. And our daily spotlight today is about the question, if you could change one thing about yourself, what would it be? And we're going to finish with our magazine spotlights, where I'm going to share with you two short articles from our website, EnglishPlusPodcast.com. The first, we'll talk about the future of higher education post-COVID. And the second is going to talk about how dancing can boost your fitness and mood. We have a lot of exciting things to talk about today. So without further ado, let's start with our Words of Wisdom section. And we're going to start with our daily proverb, a rolling stone gathers no moss. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Have you ever felt restless, like you were meant for more? Or maybe you crave the comfort of staying put, the security of familiar surroundings? Have you wondered if there's wisdom in the old saying, a rolling stone gathers no moss? Is it a warning that those who wander will never prosper? Or a subtle critique against those who never dare to venture outside their comfort zones? Welcome to Daily Proverb, the podcast untangling the wisdom and sometimes the confusion behind those well-worn sayings. Today, we're diving into a proverb that pits movement against stability. A rolling stone gathers no moss. Let's break it down. Moss, that velvety green stuff, symbolizes accumulation, wealth, possessions, maybe even a sense of belonging in a community. A rolling stone, on the other hand, is constantly on the move, unattached and seemingly without roots. So, what's this proverb telling us? Here are a few possible interpretations. First, there's the value of stability. Staying put allows you to build something lasting. Careers, relationships, and a solid reputation often require commitment and staying the course. And on the other hand, there's the danger of stagnation. Is moss always a good thing? Or can staying in the same place too long lead to boredom, missed opportunities, or feeling trapped? So the core of this proverb is about change versus contentment. Some people thrive on constant change, embracing new experiences, and others find deep satisfaction in a simpler life, valuing familiar comforts. Now, this proverb reminds us there's no single right path. Some of the most successful people did focus intensely on single passions. Yet history is also full of adventurers and innovators who scattered the mold by refusing to stay still. Maybe the real question isn't whether to roll or remain still, but rather, what kind of moss do you want? Is it about material possessions or deep roots in a community? Is it about knowledge gathered over a focused lifetime? And the other important question, can you find a balance? Maybe it's periods of intense focus interspersed with bursts of exploration or calculated risks that lead to exciting new opportunities. Remember, whether you're a rolling stone or putting down roots, the key is to live a life that feels meaningful and authentic to you. So, my friends, I hope you enjoyed today's proverb, and I hope you learned something from it. And actually, it's not my purpose to teach you anything, actually. It's just to make you question things in your own life. And guess what? I don't have any answers. You have the answers. All I try to do is to pose these questions or actually shed a light on these questions that you already have in your mind. So, that was about our daily proverb. Now we're still in our Words of Wisdom section, and we're going to talk about our quote. And our quote for today is, "Believe you can, and you're halfway there." Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Imagine you're setting out to climb a mountain. You've packed supplies, trained your body, but what if, deep down, you don't truly believe you can reach the summit? Would you put in your absolute best effort? Could you even push yourself through the toughest parts of the climb? Or picture this: you want to start a business, but a little voice inside whispers that you might fail. How likely are you to take those bold first steps? To persevere when obstacles appear. Welcome to Daily Quote, where we unpack thought-provoking ideas every day. And today we're talking about the power of belief, and surprisingly, why it might be the key to turning goals into reality. Theodore Roosevelt, one of America's most energetic presidents, once said, "Believe you can, and you're halfway there." Now, this isn't some wishy-washy feel-good statement. There's real substance behind it. Think about it. Self-belief becomes our mental fuel. It influences the risks we're willing to take, how hard we push ourselves, and our tenacity in the face of setbacks. If you don't think something is possible, you're much less likely to even try with full force. It's like attempting to drive a car with the parking brake still on. Scientists are actually studying this phenomenon. They call it self-efficacy, a fancy term for our belief in our ability to succeed. Turns out, those with higher self-efficacy tend to set more ambitious goals, persist longer, and bounce back more easily from setbacks. But here's the fun part. It's not just about blindly believing in yourself. Roosevelt's quote says halfway there. The other half? Preparation, strategy, and action. Belief sets the stage for success, but it's the work that makes things happen. Well, my friends, I hope you enjoyed our words of wisdom for today, but we're not done. We still have a lot of things to talk about. Next, we're moving on to our word power section, where we're going to discuss an interesting English expression and an English word. So don't go anywhere. I'll be right back with our daily expression, Wild Goose Chase. Imagine running around in circles, chasing something that seems just within reach, but always slips away. Feeling frustrated, exhausted, maybe even a little silly? That's the essence of a wild goose chase. But why do we compare pointless pursuits to chasing birds? Were goose known to be particularly difficult to catch? Let's unravel the mystery and maybe learn a thing or two about avoiding fruitless quests. Hello there, my language lovers. Welcome to English Express, where we turn those quirky phrases inside out. Today, we're talking about the baffling world of wild goose chases. So, why geese? Well, here's the fun fact. Wild geese are known for flying in a V formation. This makes them look organized and like they're heading somewhere specific. However, from the ground, it can be super hard to track individual geese, making them seem unpredictable and, well, a bit of a chase. The phrase wild goose chase likely evolved from this, implying a pursuit that may appear focused, but is actually disorganized, confusing, and ultimately pointless. Let's take a look at some examples. Searching for my keys all morning was a total wild goose chase. Or, that project turned into a wild goose chase with no clear goals or results. Or we can also say, trying to get a straight answer out of him is like a wild goose chase. Now, we also use this idiom to warn against activities that may seem promising but are destined to fail. Imagine these scenarios. Your friend convinces you to invest in a get-rich-quick scheme. That's a potential wild goose chase. Or you spend hours trying to fix a complicated tech issue without proper knowledge. Another wild goose chase in the making. So my friends, don't waste your time in wild goose chases. Well, that doesn't mean that you avoid difficult things or difficult problems, not at all. But if you already know that the work you're doing is in vain, you're just wasting your time, just avoid wild goose chases. So that was our expression for today, and now we're moving on in the same word power section, and we're going to talk about the word of the day, natty. Don't go anywhere, I'll be right back. Imagine stepping out in a perfectly tailored suit or a flawlessly coordinated outfit. There's a word for that feeling of being sharply dressed, effortlessly stylish, but what is it? Does a word exist that describes someone who turns heads, not for being flashy, but for the sheer elegance of their appearance? You bet there is, and it's got a touch of old-world charm to it. Welcome to Word of the Day, where we shed light on the hidden gems of the English language. Today we're getting stylish with the word natty. Natty. Even the sound of the word feels a bit crisp and put together, doesn't it? This delightful adjective is all about polished appearances. Think neat, dapper, well-groomed. A natty individual pays attention to the details of their outfit, ensuring everything coordinates and complements. It's about looking effortlessly chic. But here's the twist. Natty doesn't imply extravagance or flashiness. A natty person can be dressed in a simple, understated way. The magic is in the careful selection and coordination. It's not about expensive labels. It's about good taste and that certain flair. Where did this stylish little word come from? Now, like many things, the precise origins of natty are a bit hazy. Language experts suspect it might be a shortened version of the word neat, making sense when you think about how it describes a tidy, well-organized look. But let's picture how this word pops up in the real world. Let me give you a couple of examples. Didn't Sarah look natty at the party? Her outfit was impeccably tailored. Or we can say, he always manages to sport a natty pocket square, adding that little touch of personality. And finally, we can say, even in worn jeans and a sweater, she had a certain natty air about her. So my friends, that was all about our word power section, but of course, we're not done. We still have a few exciting sections to go, so don't go anywhere, because next we're going to start our Did You Know section, and we're going to uncover some interesting facts about archaeology and about ourselves. Don't go anywhere, we're going to talk about the city of Troy next. Imagine a tale of love, war, and heroes so epic that it echoes through the ages. A story filled with gods and mortals, a stolen queen and a legendary wooden horse. For centuries, the ancient city of Troy and the Trojan War were believed to be just that, stories. But what if legend held a grain of truth? What if the mythical Troy was, in fact, a real place? Get ready to travel back in time and explore a discovery that blurred the lines between myth and reality. Welcome to Did You Know from English Plus Podcast, where we unravel the mysteries of history and uncover fascinating truths. Today we're diving into the captivating saga of Troy, a city lost to time and reborn through archaeology. Throughout antiquity, stories of Troy and the Trojan War were passed down, their heroes immortalized in Homer's epic poems, the Iliad and the Odyssey. But as centuries turned into millennia, Troy faded into legend. Historians and scholars questioned if the mighty city ever existed at all. Then, in the 19th century, a determined and somewhat controversial figure named Heinrich Schliemann became obsessed with finding Troy. Armed with Homer's poems as his guide, Schliemann began excavating a site in modern-day Turkey. What he unearthed shocked the world. Layer upon layer of ancient ruins hinted at a powerful city with a long and tumultuous history. Could this be Homer's Troy? While Schliemann's method might raise eyebrows today, his discovery ignited a fascination with Troy that continues to burn brightly. Archaeologists have kept digging, seeking to separate fact from fiction. They analyzed pottery shards, remnants of structures, and even clues about possible conflicts to build a picture of what life in ancient Troy might have been like. The question remains, was this truly the Troy where Achilles battled Hector? Did Helen's beauty truly launch 1,000 ships? While we might never definitely know if every detail of the legend is true, one thing is certain. The discovery of the ruins of Troy forever altered our understanding of the past, reminding us that sometimes the most fantastical myths hold a kernel of historical truth. Well, that was quite interesting, wasn't it? I mean, I have to admit, there's still no hard proof that everything Homer said was true, especially the part of the gods, of course, but even about the battle, about Achilles, about Hector, about Helen and Agamemnon and his brother Menelaus, all of that, we still don't have hard proof about that, but at least we have some clues, we have some strong clues that there might have been a version of truth in what Homer said about Troy, the city that we thought was just a mythical or a legendary city, no more. So I hope you like that, but we're not done with our Did You Know section. We're going to talk about ourselves. In our Know Yourself segment, we're going to talk about meditation and how it can physically change the structure of your brain. That's coming next. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Can meditation actually change your brain? Explore the science behind mindfulness and how it could boost focus, manage stress, and even transform your mind structure. Imagine if you could strengthen your focus, manage your emotions better, and even upgrade the physical structure of your brain, all without lifting a single weight. Sounds like science fiction, right? But what if I told you something as simple as meditation could hold the key? Welcome to Know Yourself, where we dive into the fascinating world of your mind and how to tap into its hidden potential. Today, we're getting our Zen on as we explore the fascinating impact of meditation on the brain. For centuries, meditation has been practiced for its calming benefits. But modern science is revealing something astounding. It might actually be rewiring your brain, transforming it for the better. Let's break down what the research says. Studies have shown that regular meditation can actually thicken areas of the brain responsible for attention, emotional regulation, and self-awareness. Imagine sculpting stronger mental muscles. But wait, there's more. Meditation can also help shrink the amygdala, the part of your brain associated with our fight or flight response. This is why meditation can be such a powerful tool for managing stress and anxiety. And the benefits don't stop there. Meditation has been linked to improved memory, better decision-making, and even enhanced creativity. It's like mental boot camp with incredible long-term perks. Of course, like with exercise, consistency is key. The more you practice meditation, the more profound the changes in your brain become. So could meditation be your secret weapon for a better, sharper brain? The evidence is promising, and it's definitely a journey worth exploring. So, my friends, I hope you enjoyed our Did You Know section, and I'm excited about the information I shared with you today. We talked about Troy, we talked about meditation, and how it can actually be your superpower. Think about it. But now, as we are done with our Did You Know section, we're going to move on to our Language Journey section, where we're going to focus more on language, on the English language, and we're going to start next with our English Usage Daily and talk about the difference between fictional and fictitious. Don't go anywhere, I'll be right back. Imagine you're describing the latest blockbuster movie. Would you call the characters fictional or fictitious? How about a wild conspiracy theory spread on social media? Is that a fictitious claim or is it something else entirely? Do these words really mean the same thing or is there a subtle difference slipping under our radar? Hello, my grammar lovers. Welcome back to English Usage Daily. I'm here to help you make sense of those confusing word pairs. Today, we're diving into the world of fictional and fictitious. Both words suggest something isn't real, but there's a crucial twist to unravel. Let's start with fictional. This is our go-to word for anything springing from our imagination, especially in the world of art and storytelling. Think of novels, movies, and even your favorite TV shows. Characters like Harry Potter or Sherlock Holmes are fictional. Their adventures are products of their author's incredible imaginations. Now here's where it gets a tad tricky. Fictitious also means something is made up, invented, or not real, but it carries a slightly different flavor. A fictitious story can be imaginative like a novel, but it often suggests a hint of deliberate deception. When someone creates a fake social media persona or invents an elaborate lie to cover themselves, that's where fictitious comes in. Let's illustrate this. We can say, for example, the world of Tolkien's Lord of the Rings is entirely fictional. But we say the company was caught spreading fictitious claims about their product's safety. See the difference? It's all about whether the invention is for pure entertainment or if there's a touch of shady business involved. So the next time you hear someone describe something as fictional or fictitious, take a moment to consider. Is it simply born from imagination, or is there a hint of something more deceptive at play? So my friends, that was about the difference between fictional and fictitious. But next, we're going to talk about some common mistakes we make when we use the word makeup. Don't go anywhere, I'll be right back. Now picture this, you're writing the perfect social media caption, but the moment you type makeup, that tiny voice of doubt whispers in your ear. Should there be a space or not? Did you just make a silly mistake that everyone will notice? What if you've been doing it wrong all along? If this inner critic sounds familiar, you're in the right place. Welcome to Daily Common Mistakes in English, where we tackle those sneaky language slip-ups. Now today, we're conquering the curious case of makeup versus makeup. Makeup as one word and makeup as two words, make up. Let's start by busting a myth. This isn't just about spelling and grammar. It's really about whether you're using the word as a noun or a verb. Let's break it down. Let's start with makeup as one word. Well, this is the noun form. It refers to the cosmetics themselves. Her makeup collection is impressive. Or, I love trying out new makeup brands. But makeup as two words, this is a verb phrase. It means to apply cosmetics to create a look or to reconcile after an argument, but that's a story for another day. For example, we can say, I always like to make up my eyes before a night out. Or, after the fight, they decided to kiss and make up. So these, we have two words. Now here's where it gets tricky. Sometimes makeup, the verb, and make up as one word, the noun, live together in a sentence. For instance, the makeup artist used high-quality makeup to make up the actress's face. You see here, the makeup artist, that's one word, used high-quality makeup, also one word, to make up, two words, the actress's face. See how both meanings peacefully coexist? That's the beauty of language. So the next time you're about to write makeup, consider its role in the sentence. Is it something you have, like a noun, or something you do, like a verb? A quick check can help you avoid those embarrassing typos and make your writing shine. Well, my friends, I hope you learned a thing or two from our language journey section today, but now it's time to unleash our imagination a little bit. We're moving on to our literary echoes section, where we're going to have our daily poetry segment and our daily spotlight. We're going to have our daily poem, I Belong, by Phoenix, next. Don't go anywhere, I'll be right back. So our poem today is called I Belong by Phoenix. Let me try with the poem itself, and then we will have some commentary on the poem. I belong. I belong to no country you may war against, and tomorrow's place I find for my head under your military boots and the roaring thunder of your steel and fire shaking my ground. I belong to no race when a color mistake can take your reason away and all your eyes can see is but a shade of who I am. Pull a trigger and kill a hue of soul I share with you. You'll never see through, you're color blind. I belong to no religion whose choice of God conflict with yours. Convince me you think you must and you might with a bullet in my head or a blade tearing my neck apart. What does it take to live in your world? Worship you or your God? I belong to no man, no country, no race, no religion. I belong to you. I will never kill you, but if you do, watch out for the rusty blade you thrust. Not too deep, and I will always be a thorn in your side, but deep enough will end up in your heart. You also belong to me. I hope you enjoyed the poem, and now let's dive a little deeper in the poem. Have you ever felt like an outsider, navigating a world divided by borders, colors, and beliefs? What does it truly mean to belong? And can we find unity in a world marked by differences? Welcome to today's episode where we peel back the layers of Phoenix's powerful poem, I Belong. I Belong confronts us with a raw, poignant exploration of identity and belonging in a fractured world. Phoenix's words challenge us to question the very foundations of our divides, be it a country, race, or religion. Through his verse, we're invited to a journey of introspection. What binds us in our shared humanity? And how do our differences, often magnified by society, shape our interactions and understanding of each other? At the heart of I Belong lies a compelling contradiction, a declaration of independence from societal labels, coupled with an acknowledgement of our inherent interconnectedness. Phoenix writes, "I belong to no country, no race, no religion. I belong to you." It's a powerful assertion of individuality, yet a reminder of our collective essence. This poem doesn't just speak. It echoes the voices of the marginalized, the misunderstood, and the overlooked. It resonates with anyone who has ever felt out of place in a world that sometimes seems too quick to judge and too slow to embrace. Through its vivid imagery and emotive language, I Belong holds a mirror up to society, reflecting the often harsh realities of our existence, marred by conflict and division. Yet amidst this bleak landscape, Phoenix offers a glimpse of hope, a call for empathy, understanding, and ultimately, unity. So as we delve into I Belong, let's ponder the power of poetry to transcend boundaries and build bridges. How can words not only expose the divides among us, but also illuminate the path towards a more inclusive world? As we wrap up today's journey through I Belong by Phoenix, I leave you with a question to carry into the world. In a society that emphasizes division, how can we foster a sense of belonging that embraces our shared humanity while honoring our individual stories? Thank you for joining me on Poetry Daily. Until next time, may you find your place of belonging in the pages of a poem. So, my friends, I hope you enjoyed today's poem, I Belong by Phoenix. We're not done with our literary echoes, and I have some plans to add maybe next week to our literary echoes to take some excerpts from famous works and talk about them, and not to be limited only to poetry. But I will keep poetry because, to be honest, that's the best part of the episode. I'm a poet after all, and I have to honor that in myself. But at the same time, I really believe that the power of words should never diminish like it is nowadays. But anyway, that may be a talk for another day, and that may be a talk for a special spotlight that we might have soon. But our spotlight today is going to be about something else. If you could change one thing about yourself, what would it be? That's our question. That's our daily spotlight. That's coming next. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Okay, let's get real. Everyone has that thing about themselves they wish they could change. Maybe it's a habit you just can't shake, a personality trait that trips you up, or even something about the way you look. If you had a magical wish, what would you alter? Would this change make you a better person? Happier? Or does the quest for self-improvement leave us with a warped view of our own awesome imperfections? Welcome to Daily Spotlight, where we explore that messy, exciting thing called being human. Today, we're diving deep into the question, if you could change one thing about yourself, what would it be? Get ready because we're about to go on a journey of self-discovery and maybe a reality check along the way. Now, let's be honest. We've all planned this game with ourselves. We compare, we critique, and we dream of a slightly improved version. Maybe it's finally being able to resist that late-night snack craving, or learning to speak up during meetings at work. Perhaps we wish we were a bit more patient, less prone to worry, or better at managing our emotions. Sometimes the things we want to change are external. I know a ton of people who'd gladly tweak something about their appearance if they could. But how much power do those changes actually have? Does a different hairstyle or losing those few extra pounds truly solve our problems? The desire for self-improvement is a great thing. It shows we're invested in growth. However, it's essential to ask ourselves some hard questions. Why do we want to change this specific thing? Is it coming from a place of self-love and wanting to be the best possible versions of ourselves? Or is it driven by insecurities and societal pressures? Here's a twist. What if part of the magic is accepting the things we don't like about ourselves? Sure, we can work on our flaws, but what about embracing the quirks that make us unique? Flaws and all, we are all ridiculously complex, interesting creatures. Isn't that something to celebrate? As we leave today, here's a thought experiment. What if, instead of focusing on that one thing we want to change, we choose one incredible thing we absolutely love about ourselves? And what if we decided to amp that up? Wouldn't that be an adventure filled with possibility? Let that simmer as you go about your day. Well, my friends, I hope you enjoyed today's spotlight. And as always, I don't give answers. I don't even try. The best I can do is pose questions, is have you think of certain things about your lives. And of course, the decision or whatever thoughts that you might come up with are going to be your own thoughts, your own decisions. I never give answers. I never try to give answers. I mean, if I could come up with my own answers, I'd be a lucky man. I wouldn't even presume to have answers for all these questions. But I hope the things we discussed in our literary echoes made you think. If that happened, then I can call it mission accomplished. But my friends, that's not the end of today's episode. We still have a couple of things to go. In our magazine spotlights, we're going to shed light on two topics from our magazine. And by the way, you can find the magazine, the entire magazine, on the website EnglishPlusPodcast.com. If you haven't been there yet, you're missing out on a lot of interesting content that you can find there, from magazines to daily content, from quizzes and all those other things that actually we talk about in our daily digest. But you will find them in their own respective posts with extra information. And of course, you will find all our podcast episodes, and you will also find English Plus Magazine. We have a lot of articles and you can learn a lot from them. Of course, you can pick the categories you like so that you can find the ones you are more interested about. But here, I will just give you a taste of what you can find, and I will try to do that daily in our magazine spotlight section that's coming next, so don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. So let's start with the first topic, the future of higher education post-COVID. The COVID-19 pandemic was a global shockwave, and the world of higher education was far from immune. From scrambling to move classes online to rethinking how we assess learning, the pandemic forced institutions to innovate at breakneck speed. Now, as we emerge from the initial crisis, it's clear that the landscape of higher education has fundamentally altered. So what does that future look like? Let's explore some key trends shaping how we learn as we move forward. The days of education being solely confined to brick and mortar classrooms are fading. The pandemic normalized the concept of online learning for students and instructors alike, demonstrating that meaningful education can take place outside of a traditional lecture hall. The future isn't about online learning replacing in-person education. It's about a hybrid approach. We'll see courses that seamlessly blend the best of both worlds, the human connection and collaborative energy of in-person sessions with the flexibility and accessibility of online components. Imagine engaging video lectures you can revisit, online discussion forums with your peers, and targeted in-person sessions for hands-on learning. And now let's talk about skills over just degrees. The value of a college degree has long been debated, and that conversation has accelerated in a post-COVID environment. Many employers are shifting away from a degree-centric mindset and towards hiring based on demonstrated skills and abilities. Well, this is both liberating and challenging for students. You have more freedom to tailor your learning journey, focusing on the specific skills most relevant to your career goals, but you'll also need to be more proactive in proving those skills to potential employers. Think portfolios of projects, micro-credentials in specific areas, and leveraging online platforms for continuous learning. But that's not everything. There's also accessibility and equity that have become central. The pandemic starkly highlighted existing inequities in higher education. The move to online learning made some feel more included, while creating new barriers for others due to factors like unreliable internet access or a lack of suitable learning environments at home. The future of higher education needs to confront these inequalities head-on. This will include ensuring widespread access of high-speed internet, providing technological support for diverse learners, and rethinking our course designs with an eye towards flexibility. This focus on accessibility isn't just about fairness. It's about tapping into the potential of the widest pool of talent possible. So the future of higher education is a collective effort. And here's what you can do right now. You can be a lifelong learner. Whether you're heading off to college, already in the workforce, or somewhere in between, cultivate a mindset of continuous learning. Embrace online courses, workshops, and other non-traditional learning opportunities to gain new skills and stay ahead of the curve. Prioritize transferable skills. No matter your field, skills like communication, problem solving, adaptability, and teamwork are invaluable. Actively seek opportunities to develop and demonstrate these skills. And finally, advocate for change. Don't just accept the way things are. If you see areas where higher education needs improvement, be vocal about it. Join student groups and participate in discussions shaping the future of your institution or field. The post-COVID world demands a more dynamic, resilient, and accessible higher education model. By embracing the changes ahead, taking charge of your learning, and demanding more from your institutions, we have the chance to build a higher education system that works for everyone. So, my friends, that was about the future of higher education post-COVID. As I told you, this is just one article from English Plus magazine. We have a lot of articles on our website, EnglishPlusPodcast.com. Just check them out. And we usually add extra things to our articles on the website. We add key takeaways parts, we add keywords and definitions parts, common questions and MythBuster sections, and we even have questions for more discussions. So although you might have learned a lot from this topic by just listening to it on our podcast, but it's not enough, trust me, you will want to go to our website and learn more about it and even join in the discussion. And now we still have one more thing, and that is the other article I told you about. How dancing can boost your fitness and mood. That's coming next. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Do you ever feel like exercise is a chore? If breaking a sweat seems more like work than fun, it might be time to change your perspective. What if fitness could be filled with joy, creativity, and a whole lot of fun? It turns out it can be through the transformative power of dance. Whether you're a seasoned dancer or someone who thinks they have two left feet, dance can uplift your physical and mental well-being. Let's explore how putting on your dancing shoes can lead to a happier, healthier you. First, let's talk about the body benefits of dancing. Well, dancing is a cardio queen. Get ready to get your heart pumping. Dancing is an excellent form of cardiovascular exercise, improving your heart health and endurance. And there's the strength and flexibility benefits. Diverse dance styles engage different muscle groups, building strength and increasing your range of motion. And there's also weight management. Did you know an hour of vigorous dancing can burn just as many calories as running or swimming? Dance your way towards your weight goals. And of course, there's the coordination boost. Fancy footwork improves balance and agility, which can help prevent falls and injuries as you get older. But it doesn't stop here. As we do have benefits for the body, there are also benefits for the mind. The benefits of dance are just physical. Busting a move offers surprising mental and emotional boosts. Dancing is actually a stress buster. Moving to music releases endorphins, those natural mood-boosting chemicals. So say goodbye to stress and hello, happy vibes. And also, dancing can be a memory sharpener. Learning dance steps challenges your brain and can improve cognitive function and memory as you age. And dance is also a confidence builder. Mastering new moves and expressing yourself through dance can lead to feelings of accomplishment and a stronger sense of self. And of course, there's also the social connection. Dance classes or social dancing provide a fantastic way to connect with others, fostering a sense of community and reducing loneliness. So let's talk now about getting your groove with some practical tips. First, find your style. Salsa, hip-hop, ballet, ballroom, it doesn't matter. There's a dance style out there for everyone. Experiment until you find what brings you joy. And the next tip is to start small. No need to be a pro overnight. Begin with online dance tutorials, a beginner class, or just crank up your favorite tunes in your living room. And finally, and maybe most importantly, consistency is key. Remember that. Aim for a few dance sessions a week, even if they're short. The more consistent you are, the more benefits you'll feel. And remember, dance isn't about perfection. It's about embracing movement and feeling good in your body. Let the music guide you. Forget about judgment and lose yourself in the pure joy of expression. So, ready to experience the transformative power of dance? Turn up the music, let your body flow, and discover how good it feels to care for your health in a way that's both joyful and effective. Your body and mind will thank you for it. And that was all for today's episode, my friends. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Now, let me remind you that you can find the transcript of this podcast on our website, EnglishPlusPodcast.com. The link is in the description. It will take you to the custom post of this episode where you will find the transcript. But remember, as I told you earlier, EnglishPlusPodcast.com is much more than just a podcast transcript website. It has English Plus Magazine. It has the daily post that we have there. I highly recommend you check them out. And by doing that, trust me that you will take your English and knowledge to the next level. That's my main goal with English Plus Podcast. And now before I leave you, let me remind you that there's also extra benefits and exclusive content for our Patreon premium members. So if you would like to unlock those benefits, if you want to have access to all our exclusive content, you can become a premium member on Patreon. The link is also in the description. By doing that, of course, you will be enjoying those perks, but you will also be helping us continue to bring more of the content you love to you and to everyone all around the world. With that being said, thank you very much for listening to another episode from English Plus Podcast. I will see you next time.